we are at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, just finishing up the discussion about the shuffling birds, and then discussion after that about the chopping block. I guess once you've located whichever birds they are, now you have to make them into a meal. But we were dealing with the case in which you designated a set of birds and you came back the next day and there's some variation in what you find, and the question is, can you assume these are the originals or not? So the Mishnah said if you designated birds inside of the area of the nest and then you come back the next day and you find the birds outside of the nest and you don't have the ability to identify and say these are for sure the same birds, then they're usur, they're prohibited, because we assume these birds came from elsewhere. That was the line in the Mishnah. And Rashi added on that what we're talking about is a case where there is nothing inside of the nest. All you have is the ones that are outside. You got it? Great. So this Gemara that we're about to read is the source for Abaye's comment that we saw on Yud Amud Beis. Remember that Abaye had talked about there are birds outside on a daf, right? On a ledge or something outside, and that affected the case. So that, when we said that's quoting Abaye, it's quoting Abaye from here, from our Gemara, at the top of Yud Aleph.
You're saying Rashi says there's no birds inside the nest?
There are no, when I come back, the way that it was framed in the Mishnah was that when I come back and I find only birds outside and no birds inside, that's correct.
Well, that's not what Abaye says, right?
No, Abaye, okay. Abaye is the answer to a problem we're going to raise.
Okay.
Because what we're saying here is if you left the birds inside and you come and find birds outside, you have to assume the outside birds came from the greater world, not from inside the nest. So the Gemara asks the question that you know is coming. Lema Messiah and Rabbi Chanina. Does that then support Rabbi Chanina? Da'amar Rabbi Chanina, Rov v'Karov halachacha harov. Because Rabbi Chanina says, when it's Rov versus Karov, Rov being the source of birds that is the greater world, there are way more birds outside than there were inside this nest. On the other hand, the closest birds at hand were the birds from inside. So by telling me that we assume that these birds are from the greater world, that means when it's Rov versus Karov, you're following Rov. Is this then supporting Rabbi Chanina? Right, you follow the question?
Yep.
So the Alan, you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Amar Abaye Bedaf. So that's where Abaye initially made his statement, which we borrowed on the previous Amud, and he said, no, what we're talking about is where there were birds outside the nest on a ledge on Erev Yom Tov. When you did your designation of the birds inside, there were birds who were sitting outside already on a ledge, and therefore the fact that I'm assuming that the outside birds now, the birds that I find outside, are from the greater world, it doesn't mean from Rove way out there. It means from Karov, from the ones who were on this ledge that was near the nest. That's Abaye's answer, and that was what we had borrowed. Rava, though, gives me a different answer. Rava doesn't take that answer. Rava Amar Bishnei Kinin Zula Mala Mizu Eskinan. He says, no, the case that we're discussing here, you have to know how they built their nests. This is a double-decker nest. Okay? Which makes sense, just from the perspective of people in those days, and frankly even today. But certainly in those days, if you're going to build this tall structure, right, and you want to be able to maximize the number of birds that you can store, you don't want to build a second structure in order to host another nest next to it. What you want is to maximize the number of nests you can have on the same pole, on the same building. No different from, the reasons are different, but the phenomenon is the same today. When we say you don't want to build, you know, you're a developer, you buy land, you don't want to build, you know, one single family homes, you want to build an apartment building and be able to put as many people as possible in the building. The same thing is what they're doing over there. Today, it's more an issue of conserving the land, right, because the land's expensive. For them, it's a matter of the difficulty of putting up a structure and the expense involved in doing so. It makes more sense for them to build a single structure and have multiple levels on it. So Rava says that's what we're talking about over here. V'lo mabaya zimein betachtona v'lo zimein ba'alyona umatza betachtona v'lo matza ba'alyona de'asiran. He says the what we are saying here is, don't even ask about the case in which you dedicate birds in the lower one and not in the upper one. Erev Yantif, you dedicated birds in the lower nest. You didn't dedicate the ones in the upper one. You went to the lower nest, you found some birds, and you said, okay, this is going to be my Yantif meal. Umatza betachtona, the next day you come back on Yantif and you find that there are birds in the lower nest and you don't find any in the upper nest. So he says, the asiran, the birds that you find in the lower nest are now going to be off limits, even though they are where you left birds yesterday. You follow? Yesterday there were birds in the lower and upper nest. You dedicated the lower ones. Next day you come round, the upper one is vacant. Question is, are the ones that are in the lower one the ones that left there yesterday? Or could these be the upper ones that move downward? Correct. And he says the rule is they're going to be usser. The amrinan hanach azlula alma, because you say, we say, that the ones that were there, that I dedicated, they're gone. They flew away. The hanach, and these that are sitting there, ishtarbuve ishtarbuve nachus, they descended into the space where the previous ones had been.
But based on this, the only time you'd ever be able to eat the birds is if the situation was exactly the way you left it.
Or you marked them in some way so that you're going to know. Right? This is a lesson in how you do things.
But then the case of the three and the two
would also be us. Work.
Yeah, that's right.
The case of the three and the two would also be us, sir.
Right.
The case of the three and the two.
Yeah. Why would that be?
You designated three and you came and you found two.
And you still not up.
Because you didn't have another supply of birds nearby. In other words, in order for me to assume...
There's always birds nearby. In other words, we're not assuming there's only three birds in the world.
No, there are three birds in the dove cut. Or in that
specific nest.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be that the three left and the two that are there...
Entirely possible. However, I don't have evidence for birds having gone from point A to point B. In this case, I know there is a place that had birds that no longer has birds.
Right, but you had three that you were.
Why should they be your birds?
Why?
Because the three and the two
were there before. They're still there.
What happened to the three that were in the upper one?
Left.
See, the question that I'm wrestling with here, and that I think I'm correct about, I suspect the answer is in Rashi, is whether birds are able to get from the upper one to the outside world without going through the lower one. How is this structured?
There's only one entry.
That's the if I'm right that there's only one way.
Then
that makes sense. Well, I'm just looking at Rashi to see.
It changes the whole story. The Gemara doesn't say it has only one.
These are flying birds, right?
Well, actually, not necessarily. These are young birds. It's going to matter in the next line. These are young birds. Hang on to that thought. They're not. They don't fly so well.
I'm not sure if I could go quickly to Abaye.
Yeah.
So Abaye's answer, Bedav, what does it answer us? That we don't go Akal Avot? What does the answer Bedav gives us?
Bedav gives us that Rov doesn't necessarily need Karov, because in that case it could have been Karov and Karov.
Right.
He's not saying that we go after Karov. He says this is not proof between Rov and Karov.
Correct. This one is not adequate proof. As a matter of practice, we take Rov over Karov.
Now, last week, with the three and the two, the answer you gave was birds don't normally leave their nests. So if we apply that here...
We already know that someone's left a nest. Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew then that one...
Rashi does not indicate, by the way. Sorry.
We knew then that one of the three left. We just did not know what happened. And so the answer given last week was we assume the two did not leave and be replaced by another two. Here are the two in the bottom have not looked. There are two in the bottom where you designated. Why don't we make that same assumption that they did not move?
Right. So, again, the difference is because here I know that birds have moved. The upper area had birds in it, and now it's empty.
But there you knew one moved. You just didn't know whether three moved.
Right. But here I know that the birds from the upper moved, and they could have gone into here. I have the potential culprits.
Rashi goes even further, though. He says even if they weren't found inside the nest up above, but they were found
Well, in this case here,
they don't assume that they were the birds from below.
Right. In this case here, we know the upper one is empty.
Right.
That's the Gemara statement. You're talking about Rashi on the Mishnah's case. We're not even on that. We're on this new case. No. But I don't see Rashi saying that there's no other way in and out of the upper one, so I can't prove that that's the case. I would like it if it was, because it would certainly make the case stronger for assuming these are the birds from the upper nest.
What's Rashi? The Rashi says we've made a king.
This is Rashi commenting on the Mishnah. He's commenting on the Mishnah here. And what he says is, Derech kol shochen liyaz ma'at min edafa aliyah boleit chutz l'machitza shol kol kan v'kan. It is the way of their dovecuts that a section of the floor of this upper area extends beyond the wall of the nest. So in other words, there's a perch outside that is essentially just the floor extending further. Visham hayonim yotzim la'avir, the birds there go out into the open air. Venochim sham kiritzonam, they rest there as they choose. Vechozim l'kein, and then they go back inside.
What do you assume he's talking about?
Life of the birds.
He's referring to the Mishnah.
Well, first of all, because it says so in the Masoras Hashas, Shayach l'Mishnah delehel yodam
ibeis. Do you know it says lo meboye?
Rashi doesn't, on lifnei akein. Which one are you reading?
Lo meboye ko'omar,
l'gersina. That's not this Rashi. We're looking at two different Rashis.
But this continuation of the same Rashi.
The next piece in the Rashi is Halacha Charov. What do you're down there? He's up here.
I just not correct.
Oh. Yeah, he's talking about this Rashi.
Okay. So I'm not sure, but he says, or whoever he is, says they are not found in the lower one, but they both floors are empty, and the birds sit in front. Oh,
he's not on our case. That's not our case.
Before Yom Tov, he designated the birds of one of the pigeonholes. On Yom Tov, both pigeonholes were found empty, but some birds were on the ledge in front of the designated.
Right. So according to that, when it says umatza bitachtona means he found in the ledge in front of the tachtona. Yeah, no, that is correct. I'm sorry, that is right. That is right. That's Rashi.
Right.
Yeah. That is,
so
that is
the Mishnah. He's talking about a rover.
So what did we say?
He says they're not even inside. They're not even inside.
You are correct.
On the ledge.
You are correct. So yeah, I have to
reframe
this. You're right. The way it works is you have your upper and your lower. And yesterday there were birds in the upper and there were birds in the lower. Today there's nothing in the upper and there's nothing on its ledge either. Right. And there's nothing in the lower, but there is something on the ledge outside the lower.
Okay,
that's
so
right. Thank you.
So the way around, there's
nothing
inside.
In the lower.
I can't do it. One Allen is the max.
He's saying there's nothing in the lower.
Yeah.
And the ones that are on the upper are outside the nest in the upper.
No, there's nothing in the upper at all. Take a look at Rashi, Rava Amar. He's going to say it explicitly.
Yeah.
Rava Amar, Halo itzchachlash mi'inan. He said, you didn't need to teach the case the way that it sounded in the first place. The case of Betoch HaKein, and you found, that's not our discussion. Ela b'shneikin in zulam alamizu. You have two nests, double-decker. U'bishneim gozalos. And on Erev Yontif, both of them had birds. The zimein es shebizu, velo zimein es shebizu. You only dedicated the ones in one of them, the lower one. Ulamacharba, the next day you come back. Velomatza besoch hakein shezimein elulefanav. He didn't find any in the one that he had dedicated, which was the lower one, only in front of it.
Well, it's unclear it's the lower one.
No, that is. That's the one shezimein. That's our case.
Yeah.
Uba oso shelozimein, and in the one he did not, which is the upper one, lomatza lolefanav velolesocho. He has neither. Neither inside nor outside. Hilkach asiri. Therefore, we're going to say they're prohibited. Not because of saying birds came from elsewhere and they're the ones who are now inside the lower nest, but since the lower ones are not in their original place, that's reyasa number one, weakness number one. The od, and further, shebekan ha'achir hamukza, in the other one, the upper one, which was not designated for use, lomatza klum, you didn't find anything, so they must have gone somewhere. So yesh lachush shema elu shematzu lefnei akan hamuchan lo mitocho yatzu ala mitocho hamuktza. The concern is maybe the ones that you found in the lower one were actually the ones that had been in the upper one.
That's why I don't understand what he's saying, because if you find them outside the nest, isn't it clear that the bottom ones went to the top?
There's nothing in the top.
Yeah, but there's they're outside. They're outside.
No, they're
outside the lower. They're outside the lower one.
Okay, but
each one has its own. This is a nice condominium setup
right.
here. Okay, each one has its own balcony. Okay,
but
right?
the ones he prepared were on the bottom, correct?
The others are gone. You had, let's say, four to start, and you only have two now.
Yeah, so there were two on the bottom, two on the top, let's say, for argument's sake.
Okay.
So the ones that were on the bottom, which he prepared,
are now...
There's nothing there.
Well, no, there is something out on the balcony from the lower one.
Right. On the lower one.
The lower balcony is the only occupied space right now.
Not on the top one.
Correct.
So why can't you assume that these were just because they're not in the nest?
No, I have two weaknesses here. Yeah. Weakness number one is that there had been birds on the upper floor beforehand, and now there are none there.
Which he didn't prepare.
But the birds that had been there have gone somewhere, and I only have two choices. Either they are the birds that are now on the lower balcony, or they've flown away somewhere. But that's number one, is that there is a potential source of birds who are usur from upstairs.
Okay.
Number two, the birds that I dedicated are gone. Those may be the same because they're not in the space where I left them.
But they're outside.
Those might be the birds that are on the balcony, the lower balcony. But I can't prove that.
But they're carved.
So are the birds from upstairs, Karov.
No, these ones are closer than the ones from upstairs.
No, physically they are closer, but not in a meaningful way. That's a key point, because you're going to see why that matters.
I don't know what the solution is.
Yes, the solution is take a picture of the birds.
You designate them
all. I was going to ask that question. You know, throughout all of this, actually, are you allowed to do that? I was
thinking,
literally 2 seconds ago. You go away, you see four birds, all four birds.
Yeah. Any bird. Can I say any bird?
No, that's not designated. But if you see the
reason.
Are you allowed to do that, and if the knowledge is that you're only going to eat two?
So the only question will be, we had two different views about whether it's enough just to point, or whether you have to pick up the bird and put it down. You know, you may create more work for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
But especially if my concern is to make sure I'm going to have birds that are suitable for a meal.
I might get a guest, so therefore I do all four. Myself, I may not eat,
but I
may
see, the problem is that law is not written for the people who were careful and took care of everything. You know, realistically, all you would be out of work. The reason we have lawyers is because people don't always do what they're supposed to do. That's why, if you were to take away two parties from Shas, you could do Daf Yomi in a month. The two parties you have to take away from Shas are people engaged in transactions who do strange things, and Kohanim who do strange things. And if you take those away, Shas becomes a lot smaller.
One way I get it from the past,
what possessed Rashi to read this extra thing into Rava? Which is certainly not.
That's why when Charlie said it, it made perfect sense. Because Rava is commenting on, he's explaining the case of our Mishnah in which you left birds inside and you found them outside. That's what he's talking about.
Fine, but you found them in another.
You found them outside. Correct. You found them outside. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Where does Rava say that?
Explicitly in the Gemara. Rava is commenting on our case. Rava is commenting on the case of Besocha Khan Umatzalifnea Khan. First, Abaye gave his read on it, and now Rava is giving his read on that case. And he's saying the case of you left them inside and you found them outside is the case of the double decker nest. I mean, read Rava. One second. Read Rava.
As you say, he adds the outside of the legend.
That's the initial case. Besocha Khan Umatzalifnea Khan. That's what Rava is commenting on.
I think Zibletneikon means on the second level or the first level.
How would you invent that?
Well, to me that. Okay.
No, Litneikon means in front of the nest.
By the way, if you designate all four, that's not going to help you in this case.
Why? Because you are.
Because none of them are where you want.
Right, but I still can say that they are a more likely source. They are Karov relative to the rest of the world.
But we don't hope.
This is a case of three and you find two.
In this case, three find two,
you can't use them.
Yeah, you can. You can use.
It's two by three.
Right, but the two you found were where they were.
See, if I designated all four, I'd be fine for a different reason.
Why?
Because I would look at it not as having designated in a particular layer of this, I would look at it as you designated the dovecot as a whole.
That's what I was going to look at. But then you could be 70, 80, 100. I mean, like,
can you do that?
Well, that's the next question.
Well, no, I'm saying, in your case of the four, I designated all birds in the dovecot. So, for example, what I'm getting at is the following. Let's say there were four birds, two on the top and two on the bottom. Right. I designated all four. I come back the next day and there were three on the bottom and one on top. I don't care.
Right, because chances, I mean... Well,
no, I don't care because I looked at it as one space.
Okay, but there were, at least they were in the same spaces that you had designated. In the case we're looking at here, you had four, two on the top, two on the bottom. You come back in the morning, there's nothing on the top, nothing on the bottom, and two outs on the ledge.
Right.
So nobody's where they should have been.
Correct. And what Rava is saying, that's Rava's point. Rava is saying it's still fine. That's the upshot of Rava's. I'm sorry, they're not fine.
They're not fine.
Rava's saying they're not fine, right? Because we say the ones from on top were the ones that came down and ended up there. The lower ones are gone, and the upper ones came downstairs.
Right. Is it not because of love? Nothing to do with love.
No, because if it was Rove, I'd be saying they came from outside.
Right. Yes, and that they're also.
They'd be usher too. They're exactly. Also.
Right, but they're usher because, read the Gemara, Damridan Hanach Azlu La'alma. We say these that are there left, Vahanach, and these that we found, Ishtarbuve, Ishtar, or they're, sorry, Vahanach, the upper ones, Ishtarbuve, Ishtarbuve, Nachos. They descended and went out on the ledge. Our assumption is not that the ones on the ledge are from the world. Our assumption is that the ones on the ledge are the ones that have been inside.
So he's not designated.
Correct.
So why do we assume that the ones that are on the balcony are more likely to have come from upstairs than from this far
just
away?
Moving from the
only because we know that the ones that were upstairs have gone somewhere.
Yeah, but why do we... They could have gone anywhere.
You just mean Machmer.
Okay, but I think doesn't that have to do
no.
with the fact that you said it depends on the flying business and whether they can or they can't?
That's, I mean, well, eventually we're going to get there to the flying business. But no. Let me put it this way. Think about what the possibilities are for what we're saying, right? We know. I guess I'll use the back of this thing here. We know that I'm going to draw out upper box, lower box, and lower ledge. Upper ledge is irrelevant because no birds have ever been there. There were two birds on the upper one. Jordan, are you getting this? There were two birds on the upper one. Okay, we're going to name them. The birds on the upper one are going to be
Gerard one, Gerard two.
Okay, we got no. You can't have Gerard one and Gerard two. Fine. Okay, they're in the upper one. Okay. The birds in the lower one are Howie 1 and Howie 2. Now, in the way that Rava formulates it is when you come back and you find that there's nothing in the upper one, there's nothing in the lower one, right? And there are two birds that are now sitting out here, right? Sitting out on the ledge. So Rava's view is we assume that Gerard 1... and Gerard 2 moved down and across. And that Howie 1 and Howie 2
flew
the coop, right.
That's
flew away entirely. Hang on. Now we're not done. We're part way through modeling this. Okay? That's one possible scenario. That in fact is Rava's scenario. Okay? What I know happened for sure, okay, what I know is without a doubt, is that Gerard 1 and Gerard 2 moved, because no one's in the upper one anymore. I just don't know how far they went. And what I know for sure as well is that Howie 1 and Howie 2 moved, because there's nobody in the lower one either. I just, again, don't know how far they went. And I also know that there are two birds sitting on that ledge, and they only have three possible points of origin, right? These birds on the ledge, who I'm calling X1 and X2, also moved. Either they moved from the, I'm going to call this the upper one, call this the lower one, But they moved either from the upper, the lower, or the great outdoors. Right? So, I know that the upper ones moved. I know that the lower ones moved. And I know that the birds that are on the ledge came from somewhere, but I don't know where they came from, but they also were involved in moving. So what Rava is doing is he's trying to say that you could say, you could make the argument that upper flew away and lower flew away and that X flew in from somewhere else, but I'd rather minimize the number of movings that are going on. I'd rather assume that X was local. You minimize the number of movements that we're going to theorize.
There's a flaw in that logic.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you then assume that the shortest movement would have been from these guys, Gerard, I think it's Gerard, I guess, just to move outside the nest?
Except mathematically, it would make more sense to say it's Usher, but not to say that there's four possibilities here. You could have, there's four possibilities. You could have Gerard 1 and Howie 1 outside. You could have Gerard 1 and Howie 2 outside.
Right, once we start blending the sets, we're in
right. You can have Alan 5 and three of those four possibilities, it's us, sir. Because
right.
One is Moksa, one is us. And there's only one possibility where it is actually Mutar.
Correct.
So based on the probabilities,
it's actually harder because you're right. Possibility 1 is that it's the two lower ones. Possibility 2 is the two upper ones. Possibility 3...
Any of the combinations.
Wait, I haven't gotten the combination.
Yeah. Possibility 3 is two complete strangers.
Right. Possibility 4, it's a stranger and one from upstairs.
Okay.
And then 5 is a stranger to the other
but
one.
So just 6
is... And you're completely ignoring bird behavior.
We're not. We just know that we don't understand bird behavior.
Well, birds stick to usually... Birds are a couple birds stick together.
That's not true. That depends on the kind of bird.
Okay.
That depends entirely on the kind of bird.
These are birds you can shout.
You're also assuming that a bird is more likely. If the upper birds just wanted to go out for a cigarette, why did they have to go downstairs? They could have just walked out the front door and stood there.
They don't like the way the smoke.
You want to make the smell somewhere else.
That's the flaw in the logic. If you use Torum as
that's like me going to his backyard to smoke cigarettes.
There you go.
You assume the least movement. The least movement just means you just went from the desk and you went outside.
Does it belong to him?
For smoke.
They're his.
Whether it's a Shudah Yechid or not is a separate question.
Nobody else can touch the bird.
Correct. So... there's more to be said about this, but I want to see the flip side of what Rav is actually saying here. Ella, he says, Rava says, not only do I say that where, in this case, we only have birds on the lower ledge, that's it, I have to assume these came from somewhere else. Ella, afilu zimein ba'al yona. But even in the following case, you dedicated in the upper ones, okay? Gerard, you're now the dedicated birds. Velo zimen betachtona, you didn't dedicate Howie in the lower one. Uba umatza ba'alyona, velo matza betachtona, and you come back and you find, you know where the birds are? On the upper ledge outside. Well, this is the one that Rubba says is the novelty. He says everything else would have been obvious, but this is the one that's the chiddush. He says, when you find it on the ledge outside of the upper one, v'lo matza betachtona, and there's nothing in the lower area, not inside and not outside.
Just when they're finding it inside, not on the ledge.
Yeah. And it's the place where it is.
Where do you see that?
Oh, it's on the ledge on the upper.
He's even there, Leonid.
Why do you assume he's not on the ledge?
Well, if he's on the ledge, then it's the same... It's the same.
No, it's not. It's not the same. That's what you'll see. He says, "V'lomatzah b'tachtona hanach nami asiri." These are usher too. De'amrinan hanach azlu la'alma v'hanach seruche sarech usaliku. Because we say that these birds that had been there left, and the birds that you find on the ledge are the ones from the lower one. And the reason Rava says this is a bigger novelty, as Rashi notes, is because we're dealing with young birds. And the assumption with young birds is that they don't fly that well. and they don't normally go up. Young birds will go down. In other words, these are birds that were eggs in the nest on whatever floor they're found. They hatched in that nest, and they're just there being fed as their mother brings back worms or whatever they're gonna, you know, they're gonna eat. They're not birds that fly all that well, and therefore, I might have assumed that in the event that the birds I designated were in the upper one, and now I find birds on the ledge outside the upper one, I might have assumed those are the birds that came from the upper apartment. I'm not going to assume these are the birds from below. That's what I would have thought. And Rava says that's what our Mishnah is trying to teach us. That's what I wouldn't have assumed on my own. But the Mishnah is saying that even there we're going to say Usser. Because we're going to assume, we're going to say that it's entirely possible that they came from below.
And he designated these little birds?
That's all he had.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they had a mother.
They had a mother at some point. Maybe the mother was lunch yesterday.
He's bending over backwards so you can't eat these birds.
We've already seen reasons to be strict even without this. We talk about Devashi Yeshlo Matirin, right? We had this whole discussion from Tosfos a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
But what he's saying is there is too much of a possibility that these are, in fact, other birds. These are not the birds that you dedicated, and therefore you're going to have to... say Usser.
In a way, isn't he saying Rav Hanina's argument as well?
Rov and Karov?
Yeah.
That we're going to assume Rov? No. Rov would be to say they came from the world. We've been, as you noted before, we've been really biased towards Karov here.
Well,
you know, by saying they're from inside.
Except he's not picking the Karov birds as being the most logical response. He's saying this. You can't assume that.
Right.
And he's adding it into the element.
Right. But just the fact that we're not saying it's from somewhere else. You know, we're not assuming these are birds that are from somewhere else. That's the sheet that Mekubetz's question. If you take a look at source Aleph on your sheet, the Shita Mekubetz wants to know why Rava has to open up his mouth at all. Abaye gave a perfectly good answer, right? What we were bothered by on this Mishnah was, maybe our Mishnah is telling me you follow Rav. And these birds that you see outside, forget the double-decker. When we thought this was a simple, you know, starter nest. It has one floor and that's all there is. And you were willing to say that the birds were Usser, the birds that you found outside. So we said, oh, does that mean that we're saying Rav? The birds that you found outside are from the greater world. And Abaye said, no, it's where there was a ledge. Outside of the nest. So that was a perfectly good answer. Why wasn't Rava happy with that answer? So the Shita Mekubetzes writes here, Rava mashmalei dahacha chidusha acharina asatana lachadusha elan velo talia tarte mili bedaf. Because Rava wanted to say that this case in our Mishnah is teaching us a new lesson. We already used the daf outside idea, right? The idea that the birds came from the ledge outside of the nest. We used that already when we were talking about the blackbirds and the whitebirds, right? You dedicated birds of one color and you found another. So that lesson has already been learned. This case must be teaching me something else. And that's why Rava isn't happy to use Abaye's answer. You follow?
You wanted to get rid of the daf.
It wasn't...
He felt the daf... Daf's already been used. Then the Mishnah would not need this case, if that was what it was trying to teach me.
Why, are they both holding the same shita? Are they both holding, basically, we're talking about here with Korb and Rove?
Well, they're saying it could be.
Both.
You could have a case like that, where you don't have to assume that this is a support for Rove.
But Rove is holding...
Everyone is going to hold in practice that we take Rove over Karov anyway.
Yeah.
The only question is that what this mission is trying to teach?
Rove is basically not—he's not dealing with Rove. He's really dealing with Karov.
Well,
whereas Abaye is basically dealing with Rove as well, isn't it?
Well, he's not really dealing with Karov with the full Karov, so to speak, because as you had noted, he's not saying say that the lower ledge has the birds from the lower nest.
Right.
He's moving to the upper one. On the other hand, the difference of lower and upper nests, you know, this is not what we call Korva the Muchach, where it's a clear cut, you know, these are so much closer than any other birds.
You're saying they both have the same sheep at the end of
the day? I would think.
So coming back to the question, if you walk into the dovecot and you say all the birds in this dovecot are designated to be birds, you come the next day, can you take like...
Didn't we discuss that? Didn't we have a case, Mikanani Nota Lamachar? Does that ring a bell? It's going to come up again because we haven't seen the Mishnah that discusses it, but I thought we already quoted it at some point in the last couple of months. The idea of simply walking into the dovecot and saying, I'm taking from here tomorrow.
Well, that was Beit Hillel's principle. And somebody said,
yeah,
you pick them up.
Yeah. Right, but you know, I'm good with Beit Hillel. But we did have such a comment, no?
Yes, we did.
But he's still...
He stands before on Yom Tov and says, this is the one I'm going to take.
But it comes the next day.
Mishnah Ben Vala, thanks. Yeah. No, but there he says, Zeva Zani no
Tov.
What I was remembering was Mikana no Tov Lamachar, yeah.
More general thing.
Yeah, and it will come up.
But in the case we had just had, where you say, I'm taking all these birds...
Oh, you know what? It was in the Gemara. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since we saw this Gemara. But 5 or 6 lines up from the bottom on Yudam and Aleph, we asked, why does Beis Hillel have to say Zavazani Notel? Why doesn't he just say, I'm taking from here tomorrow? And if you're going to tell me Beis Hillel does not believe in Breira, it's all at the bottom of Yudam and Aleph. If you're going to tell me that the reason is because Beis Hillel does not believe in Breira, and therefore you have to identify with that what you're going to say, you can't say tomorrow it was retroactively this bird... We reject that because of the idea of taking the dead body out of the window, and we said that, you know, once you determine which window it is, retroactively, there's no tumah. So we ended up, we threw that out. We said, no, that's not what's going on regarding the windows. Rav Amram Freya, that's still on the windows discussion. You remember that discussion about the windows. Yeah. No, the idea was that the reason Beis Hillel didn't like it, the reason Beis Hillel did not approve of the of this method was not because of Breira, but rather because of a concern that if you do that, you won't find, the next day when you come back, you won't necessarily find good birds for your meal. That was the concern. We don't want you being too general. We don't want you just saying, I'm going to take birds from here tomorrow. Because if you do that, if you're too broad in this, and you don't specify which birds you're going to take, we're not going to go so far as Beis Shammai and say you have to pick up the bird. But if you don't identify particular birds, it could be there are none of them there that are suitable.
It's better than having nothing.
But the alternative isn't having nothing. The alternative is be smart about how you do your picking.
Which is
identify a marking on the bird and say, okay, now I'll be able to identify this is the bird.
Tie them.
Or tie them up and tie a thing on the leg.
Although that may be Tzarbal Chaim.
No, it's Tzarbal Chaim. Okay. They tag birds all the time. The Tzarbal Chaim is coming the next day.
No, that is over.
It's true. There's no Tzar when you... okay, fine.
Agreement at that point.
But you tag the bird.
Okay, so you tag the bird. It's not identifying marking on the bird because there could be 20 birds of the same marking.
Yes, that's true. If you're going to do identifiers, you really would need to know what you were doing. Yeah. But that's the idea. That's why we don't want you just saying, I'm designating the whole dovecot. That doesn't work. Okay. Yeah, we did this, but it was like November.
What year?
It was 2014. Okay. The last piece of Gemara here, leading to the Mishnah, the main sham, it's the first of the wide lines. The main sham elahein hara elu mutarin. If these are the only birds, they are mutar. If there were no other birds around during the dedication, then the ones that you find are going to be okay. So the Gemara says, what? What are you talking about? Hechidami. what is your case here, right? What is this like? Elam the mifurachin. If you're talking about where they are mifurachin, mifurachin implies like pricha, they can fly, right? If you're talking about birds that are old enough to fly around, then ikal amemar hanach azul alma v'hani achridi ninu. Then I could just as easily assume that the birds that that I designated are gone, and these birds are brand new. El b'midadin. So you're going to tell me you're dealing with fluttering birds, birds that don't really fly well. But idi ika kan besocha mishim ama adduye addu. If there is another nest within 50 amos, birds do flutter a distance of up to 50 amos. This was observed to be so. Yeah. The idaleka kan besocha mishim ama. And if there is no other nest within 50 amos, then pshita de mutarin. Then I didn't need a mishnah to tell me that it's mutter, because where else are these birds coming from? They don't. These aren't long distance birds. The Amar Mar Ukva Bar Chama, because after all, Mar Ukva Bar Chama said, "Kol medada, ein medada yoser mechamishim amo." A bird that flutters isn't going more than 50 amos. It's interesting that we are challenging this and explaining the Mishnah based on Mar Ukva Bar Chama, who is in Amora, not a Tana. You could just easily have said, well, our Mishnah doesn't accept the idea of Mar Ukva Bar Chama, and then go further from there. So Tosus asks that question. But Tosus' answer is, Mar Ukva was the one who stated it among the Amoraim, and so it was known as his statement, but it must have been an idea that they had already going back to the Mishnah, which we find, because they discuss this, and we've seen the Mishnah in Bava Basra that talks about if I find birds near a dovecot, and the question of which dovecot they came from, and how far would they have traveled, and there they say the 50 Amma idea also. So the idea of birds don't go more than 50 amos if they're fluttering was already an old idea. Mar Ukva Bar Chama is not the originator of the idea. But the point is, and the question the Gemara is asking is, when our Mishnah says, if these are the only birds around, they're mutter, what are you talking about? If you're dealing with mature birds, then I have no reason to make the assumption that these are the originals. And if I'm dealing with younger birds, and they could have come from somewhere else, then again, on what basis do you assume they're the same? And if they couldn't have come from somewhere else, then why did you need the Mishnah? So he says, La'olam ti'ika kan besocha mishim amas. He says, you know, this is where there is a nest within 50 amos. So it's close enough, they could have come from somewhere else. However, it's teaching me a lesson. Ukagon tekaima bekeren zavis. It's where it is around the corner. Mau disema adaduye adadu. I might have thought you worry that these birds could have fluttered from the other nest. It's not that far. Kamash malan, but it teaches us. Kol hecha de medada vahadar chazi lekene medada. Vilo lo medada. Birds, this is bird psychology. The bird is not going to go beyond the point where it can't see home. If it's a bird that's not a flying, mature bird, it's going to turn around at that point. That bird isn't turning a corner. So that's what this is teaching me, is that so. The bird that is that can't see its base is not going to keep on going. That's the idea. Now, this sugya accidentally created a problem for us. This last piece. It has to do with a question that was asked a while back. We're talking about designating birds on Erev Yontif in order to take them and kill them for your meal on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to trap on Yom Tov. Good, you designated them. Now they're not muktzah. But it's tzedah. It's trapping. That's an issur d'oraisa. How are you going to get around the trapping problem on Yom Tov, right? Remember this question? I think you asked it.
Gerard asked it.
What do you say with d'oraisa? Okay. So take a look at the Rush in source base. Before you get to our Gemara, the Rush's answer sounds logical enough. He says, "Mashmahacha de yone shovach ena masurin ela belozimun." It sounds like here the birds will only be usur if they're not designated. But if you designate them, you've solved all your problems. V'heksha harav Rabbeinu Yosef. So Rabbeinu Yosef asks, to the Kaman Beresh Ein Sadin, further along in the Gemara, Chavdalad Amad Aleph, we should live and be well and get there, Tanya, had sad yone shovach v'yone aliyah v'tziparm shekanu v'tfichem b'biros chayav. He's going to say there in a brisa that if you trap birds from a dovecot or from a loft, or birds that have taken to nesting in jugs, in all these cases, you're liable for trapping. So what happened to trapping? Why wasn't that an issue? V'yesh lomai says, you could say, d'hasa mari b'gdolim v'hacha mari b'ktanim. Maybe the rule against trapping them is specifically if you're dealing with mature birds, because mature birds can fly. Those are the birds that are hard to trap. The young little baby bird that can't really get very far, that's not called trapping when you pick it up. Trapping implies this bird could have gotten away and you went and caught it. Because remember, what's the original case of trapping that they bring in the Mishnah and Shabbos when they list the 39 malachos? What are you trapping? Hatzad Tzvi, a deer, right? Trapping a deer has no parallel when you're trapping a little baby bird. They're not the same thing. He points out the Gemara there, when it discusses trapping, is going to distinguish between trapping a baby wild animal and trapping its mother. They're two different things. So the rush is good. The rush solves our problem. Here we are talking about younger birds. But we just gave in the Mishnah the possibility that you're dealing with mufrachin, that you're dealing with older birds. Right? We said it wasn't our case in the end because
it can't fly.
No. We said when we asked the question, we said our Mishnah says if those are the only birds, you can assume that they're the birds you designated yesterday.
But only if they can't fly.
Correct. But along the way, one of the answers that we suggested and then rejected was maybe these are older birds. But you shouldn't have been able to even suggest that, because if they're older birds, then there's a tzeda problem. That's the Meiri's question. Take a look at Sois Gimel. He says, Me'acha shekasavnu shamufrachin ein zimun mawil bahem. He says, since we say that the older birds, the birds that can fly, that dedicating them doesn't work, tzarech lachkor, you now need to examine, masha amr besug yezu, when the Gemara here says, ibu mufrachin lechosh dilma hanach azil vahani achrini ninhu, right, the line that we read in the Gemara, that if you're dealing with mature birds, maybe I should worry that those birds left and these birds that you have there now are new. He says, shemashman shal devarim, it sounds like, our Gemara is saying, she'ilu nisbarer shehem elu ba'atzman, if it were known that in fact the birds I left were the ones I designated, and they happened to be the big birds. Let's say I had a sign, Otvius Aina, or I just recognized them without having a particular sign. Tvius Ayin is the idea that you can look at something, because you've looked at it before, you know what it looks like, even if, you know, if you weren't looking at it right now and someone pressed you and said, tell me something unique about it, you couldn't. Nonetheless, you know in general what it looks like. Do you follow? That's the idea of Tavius Ayin. It comes up for those doing the Daf Yomi. It's going to come up in a big way in Yevamos.
Bava Metzia also, no?
Yes, Bava Metzia comes up as well. Very true. So he says, the indication of our Gemara is, the only reason we're not accepting the large birds is because they may have come from elsewhere. But if I knew they hadn't come from elsewhere, I'd be okay. Shem butarin. Vayim ahusarim tzedahim. But you can't trap them. So he says, maybe that answer that they gave in the Gemara, the answer of, well, they could have flown in from elsewhere and therefore we don't trust it, that's not a Davka answer. That's not the only answer to this. Really, you could have given the answer about Seda also. And this is the Gemara, you have one answer out of multiple possible answers. Umikol makom, however, he says, L'gedolei hador ra'isi shelo kivnu b'kan b'mufrachim legamri. I have seen the greats. And when he says the greats, I had a note on this here, yeah, that the Ran had stated this. I didn't see it in Rambam, I saw it in the Ran. The Ran gives this answer as well, so maybe that's what he's quoting. But he says, I've seen the gedolei hador, he said, they said, we're not talking about full-fledged, literally full-fledged, that's what the term comes from, the full-fledged flying birds. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about birds that fly a little bit more than the birds that sort of flutter along. They're the next step up. They're still not mobile enough that you would say to somebody, go get the net. You know, go get the trap in order to get them. You could still pick them up yourselves. There's an intermediate category. What he's saying here is very important, not just in terms of understanding our Gemara, but on a practical level. Question. You have a bird that lives in a cage. Okay, you have a budgie, or a parakeet, or a cockatiel. It's had its wings clipped, so it isn't flying very far. you would like, let's say, on Yom Tov, to open up the cage, not to use it for lunch. But I guess if you want to open up the cage and let it fly around a little bit, and then have it go back into its cage at night. Or you want to open up its cage in order to put in a treat for the bird or something like that. Is there a problem with Seda when you close the door of the cage?
Take it back, you mean?
Well, when you put it back in, if you do, but when you just you put in the treat and then you close the door, that in of itself is Seda. So the argument could be made that that's in this intermediate category. It's not a medata. Your bird is not fluttering a step. On the other hand, it's not flying long distances either. It's in this intermediate category. And what the Meiri is suggesting is that as long as you wouldn't need to bring a net in order to catch it, it's not called Seda. That's the idea that he puts
so
out there.
Where do we get that concept for Seda? Like, take the case of the Tzvi.
Yeah.
If he's in a house and you just stand in front of the door and you do nothing, you're Chayav Seda.
Correct.
Okay, so Seda is a concept of capturing something. It's not the effort that goes into it.
It's not the effort that goes into the action that you do now, but it is in the fact that you took something that you would have a hard time getting your hands on and did something such that now it'll be easy to get your hands on it. Even if right now you don't have your hands on it. So if, by closing the door, I have now made it easy to get my hands on it, I have trapped it.
Does it have to have wings?
No.
So what about chicken? You're chasing the chicken around.
Chickens have wings.
Yeah, they don't fly.
Right. So the answer would be, how hard is it to catch it?
But chickens are in a pit, in a dove coat.
Chickens are in a dove coat?
They're not.
No. If they are, you have other problems.
But still, you're running around chasing the chicken. That's Seda.
So part of that is going to be around the question of how hard is it to catch them? How hard is it? That's the question. And what he's doing is, he's saying, you know, there is an intermediate category. And that's really what I wanted to show here in this Meiri, is that there's this intermediate category of bird. There's the flutterer on one end, there's the full-fledged bird that flies around on the other end, and then in the middle, you have this bird which flies, but not wildly so, and he's saying, say, that will not apply there.
Why don't they use the case of the legs tied together between the birds, like we had in the case of the three down
the chute? Use it for what?
If you had two birds that their legs were tied to each other,
yeah,
would that still be Seda?
No. They're already in Seda. They're not flying anywhere.
Okay, so why isn't that our case?
Because you were talking here about a case. The case that the Gemara was talking about was where there are no other birds around, and the question is, the birds that are there, can I assume that they're local, or do I have to worry that they may have come from elsewhere? If they're tied together, there's no way I'm going to assume they came from elsewhere.
If everyone has that same custom of tying up the birds before Yontif,
it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of how far they're going to go.
As to
they're not getting very far. It's not a race, you know, three-legged race.
Does Seda also apply if I designated something on Erev Yontif?
What do you mean? No, Seda will still apply. Yes, designation does not help you.
And what's the case that I'm allowed to look to the Tavio? That I can?
I'm not. Only in the event that it's already in a narrow space. Yes. Either it's injured, or it's old, or it's in a narrow space.
Okay.
So it's already
all about trapped. The effort, even if it designated all how, the effort. How right. effort
is this really called an act of trapping, okay. Or not? Okay. Yeah.
But surely any animal or bird you're going to be chasing around in order to shed, you know, even a cow or a sheep or a goat, they're not exactly...
No, a cow doesn't run away.
You don't have to chase the cow.
Yeah, you ever see a schlachthaus when you got cows lined up for shechita?
Have you?
Maybe. Have you? Yes.
They run away?
They don't exactly come willingly.
We can do a field trip, if you like.
Yeah, but if you've got a cow and you got a rope around the cow's neck...
You're a cowie.
That's not...
Get used to it, cowie.
That's not Seda? You don't think it's Seda?
If you have a cow and with a rope around the neck and you pull it, that's not Seda.
No.
Wait a minute. So I've got a net and I put it on top of a bird. That's Seda. But putting a rope on a cow's neck is not Seda.
No, because the cow isn't going anywhere. I understand what you're saying, but the cow isn't going anywhere.
Might be different if it was a deer.
Now, if the cow, unless you're going to tell me that the cow is going to knock you over and run, The part of it is that we don't live around cows, realistically. Like, I mean, I took my kids to a country fair and they saw a big cow up close. And that was a thrill, you know. The, otherwise, you wave at them from the side of from the road.
It's a very difficult exercise to determine send or not send.
Yes, and we're going to have to do it, God willing. But it's another dozen daf or so. All right.